One of the dangers of reading history, and I love history, is that we look back at these remarkable stories, the lives that these people have led, and we sometimes assume them to be neat and tidy, right? And so we look back to what happened 50 years ago or 500 years ago or 2,000 years ago, and sometimes we don't consider the uncertainty or the confusion or the lack of clarity that these people felt. It can be too easy to look back into their lives and not have a sense of the fear or the anxiety that we ourselves can feel. And I think this is true also, and maybe especially true, with our biblical story. Because it's in this book, and these were holy people, and they could not have felt what I feel. And perhaps this is why I get a little bit uncomfortable when we approach this day, this Feast of Pentecost. Because, and I love some of the aspects about this, but sometimes I wonder if we really know what we're doing. Because that first Pentecost, it was out of control. And God only knows what's going to happen as this service goes. But most of today, so far, has been fairly in control. And I understand why, you know, why we want to keep things in control, right? Because we have not yet mastered, you know, the cloven tongues of fire resting on people's heads. I mean, the closest we come to practicing that is really on Christmas Eve at the candlelight mass. That's not really on purpose. And so it's almost like we've taken this out of control experience and we've like kind of fetishized it. We take, you know, red balloons and we tell the story from Acts 2, and we'll add a verse with a new language, verse by verse, which is delightful. And it doesn't quite get to what was happening that day. And so I think we kind of remove the radical wildness out of the experience and really make it, well, it's like we're curating this wild encounter into a lovely museum piece. And when we do this, we forget. We forget that this is actually something that is, or was quite insane. They were accused of being drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, which I take it was not a normal behavior. So, like, what's going on here? I don't think that the apostles remembered this story and passed it on generation to generation at great peril without reason. And I think the reason is this. Because this day of Pentecost, yes, the fire, yes, the wind, yes, the speaking in tongues, but that day of Pentecost for those people was a threshold moment. A biblical scholar, Matt Skinner, talks about these threshold moments, but what is interesting is that this reading from Acts in the second chapter is but one of several of these threshold moments that take place with these apostles as they are beginning to share this news. And it's accompanied by various phenomena each time, but every time it happens, these apostles are talking to people, encountering people who are very different from them. It happens when Peter talks to or is drawn to Cornelius, the centurion. When Philip is on the road and gets drawn to this Ethiopian eunuch. When Peter and John encounter this group of Samaritans. Every time they come to this threshold and the Spirit beckons them forward. And I have to believe that, and we read, bless you, that there is resistance in it, that they're not sure they want to go to the other side. And yet one of the evidences that the Spirit is present, that it is flowing through them, is that even though they are met by foreigner, by Gentile, by ancient rival, they are invited to cross, and the Spirit is with them. A while ago, I found myself hustling up the steps of the Oakland City Center BART station, you know, in downtown. And I came up the steps at a pretty good clip. I had a few things on my mind, and I quickly turned the corner out of the steps there on 11th and Broadway, and I nearly stumbled right into somebody. And I apologized, and then I looked up into his face. And the very first thought that crossed my mind was, I don't have time. I just don't have time. And it was because the man whose eyes I was looking into, he was pretty haggard looking, weary, worn, the life of living on the street really was hard, very clearly. And I thought to myself, I just don't have time. And then he looked at me and he looked at the collar I was wearing. Right, because whenever I'm in roll, I wear this black shirt and this white collar, and it's usually pretty recognizable. And he said, are you a pastor? I just don't have time. And I've had enough encounters on the street to know that it can go many different directions. And so I said, well, I am. What's going on? He said, I am really struggling. It is really hard for me right now. And what I'd like from you is if you could pray with me. Could you bless me? And from, I just don't have time, it shifted into, how could I withhold the blessing that has been given me? And so I placed my hands on his head, and I took a very deep breath, and we began to pray together. And all the traffic of Broadway and the people and the bike messengers and everything flowed around us. And afterwards, we embraced, and I walked on. And I felt something that I had not felt as I was hustling up the stairs of that BART station. After crossing over that threshold, in my body, I felt lighter. I felt more whole. I felt more alive. And I believe that it was the Spirit that was disrupting me. And so I've wondered why. Why does the Spirit do this? Isn't life hard enough as it is? Do we really need this? What I've come to believe is that just as God creates order out of chaos, when we come into those places, and we do this all the time as human beings, when our order becomes so rigid, so self-justifying, when we become, in the words of the scripture, so stiff-necked, the Spirit enters in to disrupt. When we come to those places as a people and as people, when our heart of flesh slowly turns to stone, the Spirit shows up. And the Spirit comes to disrupt, to invite us forward to these thresholds, and we don't always pay attention. Or we see it, but don't want to go through it. Why? Because of what we could lose, of what might happen, of what we're not. And so we become content with half-truths. We allow ourselves to sleep at night pretending as if this is just the way it is, the way it's been, the way it will be. And we do not look for the way forward. And so we allow barriers to be built to these thresholds, barriers like walls at our borders, like unjust practices of bail, like paying 82 cents on the dollar. But the threshold is there. Still, the Spirit beckons, and the disruptions shake us. We were shaken like this several years ago here at All Souls. It was a couple years after we had purchased the parish house, and a group that is now called the Interfaith Movement for Human Integrity came to our vestry with a request. Many people were being detained at the ICE Detention Center in Richmond, and some of the asylum seekers, especially from shores far from here that did not have family and friends and connections, were out without a place to be. And so they said, is it possible, could you provide respite just for a little while so they can have a place to sleep? And we brought this to our primary leadership body, our vestry, and with prayer and conversation, we struggled with each other. These thresholds look easier in hindsight with 20/20 vision. But we struggled with things like, well, we had plans for this space. we think we might be doing other great things. Will we actually be able to sustain this so that when we invite people in, we'll be able to care for their needs, not just for a couple of days, but for weeks and now for months? Surely someone else, another church, has the space to do this. And yet, it was one of the people who had the biggest challenge with it, the person for whom this was most difficult, that quite literally called the question, said, "We've heard enough. We've got consensus. Let's do this." And so in that small way, we have been crossing over the threshold, and we have encountered the holy in it. Because what we have found is, on this other side, when we have welcomed people into our home, when we have broken bread with them, when we have learned of their stories, of what it's like to be driven from your homeland, whether it be from Western Africa or from Gaza or from the middle of Asia, we have met the holy with them. And we have found some of the most humble, grace-filled people by doing so. What are the thresholds in front of you? Whether they are familial or political, your neighborhood or your work, what are the thresholds that stand between you and this wild spirit? This is why we're here again today. This is why we've come back to this feast of Pentecost. Because all too often we forget. We forget about the people on the other side of this threshold, that in fact, when we step out into the risk and the disruption, we encounter the Holy One, and ourselves become more fully human.